God on your mind. Amen. Certainly grateful for an opportunity to even think about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Today, as we go into the Word of God, this is part three of our series on prayer. How many of you have been challenged about prayer? Amen. Amen. Challenged only a couple of y'all. Amen. I pray that there's been a challenge and that people are beginning to increase your prayer life. We want to today go to a text that we often have read, but we're going to look at it from a slightly different perspective. Turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Stand to your feet if you don't mind. Jonah chapter 3. Stand to your feet for the reading of the word if you can. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1 reads, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown.'" Skip down to verse 10. It reads, "When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." As you take your seat, just say, "He didn't do it."
He didn't do it.
Amen. He didn't do it. That should actually be good news for a couple of us. Oh boy, that's a sermon right there, ain't it? He didn't do it. Not he couldn't do it. And for some of us, he should have done it. But he did not do it. Amen. Remember that we are first dealing with, in our prayer series, I told you that we would deal with three things: the purpose of prayer, the protocol of prayer, and then the provision of prayer. We've spent the last 2 weeks and now this third week working with prayer's purpose. In week one, we dealt with how prayer realigns us from 2 Chronicles 7:14. In week two, last week, we dealt with how prayer closes the gap. Yes, truth is that many of us have done some things, y'all might not want to admit it, that separated us from God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. We did some things and we shouldn't have done it. Amen. Come on, I promise y'all, if y'all get truthful, it'll get better. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have thought it. We shouldn't have been there. Amen. We shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have called them that. Amen. But thank God for grace. And thank God for mercy. Just as a parenthetical thought here, so that we know, grace and mercy are not the same. Amen. Grace is when God gives us things that we do not deserve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lord have mercy. Mercy, on the other hand, is when he withholds some things that we do deserve.
Yes, sir.
I thank God for both of them.
Yes,
amen. Many of us are in constant need of both grace and mercy.
Yes, sir.
Every day. Amen. How many of you are willing to wave your hand and say, "That's me"? Amen. And now we come to the story of Jonah. And Reverend Jackson, I find it interesting that when we preach from the book of Jonah, we love to deal with him 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish.
Yeah.
And we don't know what kind of fish it was. You know, we can speculate. Some scientists have tried to disprove that it could have ever happened. Well, we know that's not true. But that's not actually what I want to deal with Jonah. If we're understanding this book, so far we know that Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. Can I work y'all through the background? Jonah is called to go to Nineveh. God says, go to that Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And Jonah, like many of us, said no.
That's right.
It's quiet in here.
That's right. No.
Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
Go ahead, contemplate it. I know. Y'all thinking about that. Y'all think it through. I know all of us in this room always say yes every time.
Sir.
I know every time God tells you to do something, you say yes immediately. You don't never put up no rebuttal. You do everything exactly the way he wants you to do it, exactly when he wants you to do it. But there's a couple of Jonahs in the room.
Yes, sir.
God says, go to Nineveh, and you say, So he didn't. Bible actually says he arose to go to Tarshish.
Yes.
He actually paid the fare.
Yes, sir.
And the interesting thing about the journey is the place that he was going, the name of that place means beautiful. Ain't that like us? God, I don't want to go to what you want me to do, but I'd rather go to the thing that looks good to me.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And I'm willing to pay for it. So he goes to Tarshish, ends up in a storm. They throw him overboard. He ends up in the belly of a fish. That was actually grace.
Yes.
Sometimes we have a poor view of grace. It was actually grace that he was swallowed. Thank you, Lord. Because he could have drowned. He should have drowned. The storm should have killed him. And so after 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, he is vomited out on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever been around where anybody is gutting fish, but after a while, the inside of a fish gut don't necessarily smell. They're not walking with me real good. And so this man been in the fish, digging hairs, 3 days and three nights, which has a symbiotic relationship to 3 days and three nights of Jesus in the tomb. And he comes out, and I bet you he stank. Oh, God, I bet you it was some kind of stench on this man. He done been in swimming around with fish guts for 3 days and three nights. He had to smell some type of way. And guess what the Lord said? Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. And cry again. Wait, y'all, they didn't miss the lesson. Deacon Moore, if you would have went when I told you to go, you wouldn't have had to stink while you was doing it. But since you didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it, you still need to do it, and everybody's going to know that you didn't do it the right way. Can you imagine him, huh? Reverend Easton walking through the city smelling like fish guts.
Yes, yes.
And so he's called, he refuses, he's rebuked. The call is restated because you can put up all the fight you want and God still said what he said. And he begins to walk across this city, and we know that it takes a while because the scripture tells us it was a 3 days walk to get across the city. And then, listen, we're going to deal right there for in a second. But after he walks, the people repent, and Jonah throws a tantrum. He has a full tantrum. It's actually one of my favorite parts of the book. He has a tantrum. God tells him his tantrum don't make no sense, and the book stops. End of story, four chapters. Go to Nineveh. You don't want to go. I said, go to Nineveh. You don't want to go. Go to Nineveh. I'm going to swallow you up. You're going to still go to Nineveh. You get done going with Nineveh, you're going to stink. The people going to change. You're going to throw a tantrum, and I don't care. End the book. That's all of Jonah right there. Because when God asks you to do something, he going to get what he wants to get out of you. Amen. But we overlook an important thing that happened, not to Jonah. That's Jonah's story. What about the people of Nineveh? We often don't deal with them. We only want to deal with Jonah. But I want to deal with the people of Nineveh. And in order to deal with the people of Nineveh, we need to understand a little bit about them. We know the city is prominent, as I alluded to before. It's so big, the city is so big, that it took 3 days to walk across it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
3 days to walk across it. 3 days. This is not a small city. For instance, the city of Dayton is roughly 50 square miles. Downtown Dayton is 1 square mile. All of downtown is 1 square mile. I can get from one side of downtown to another on foot in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. 10 minutes. Yeah. From one side of downtown to another, straight line, 1 square mile. So if Dayton is 50 square miles and you walk in a 10-minute mile, come on, y'all. It ain't gonna take a full day to walk across the whole city. It took Jonah 3 days to walk across Nineveh. This is a big place. Now, why bring this up? It's an important point to highlight because something that is this big and rose to prominence without God could have an arrogance problem. We know that Nineveh is a city that was actually against God. Israel considered Nineveh to be an enemy. The king of Nineveh didn't want nothing to do with God. He was not a believer. He didn't worship God. He didn't honor God. He didn't think nothing about God, which is why God sent Jonah in the first place. Yeah. But this particular city had gotten that big, quote unquote, without God. No. It's a dangerous thing when you think that you've reached your height and you think God didn't have nothing to do with it. Yeah. I'm going somewhere. It's a dangerous thing when you think that you have received all that you've received and acquired all that you've acquired and God didn't bless you. Come on now. If it had not been for the Lord on your side, I really don't know where we would be. Truth is, I can't do nothing without the Lord. And I ain't gonna try. But some of us start smelling ourselves a little bit. And we think that because we got a couple of things and a few things have gone well in our life that we don't need the Lord. And that's Nineveh. Now, we don't want to admit that some of us have a Nineveh-like mindset. But I ask you this. When things go well, who do you applaud? Yourself or God? When things are going well in your life, who do you celebrate? Who do you say good job to? Do you thank the Lord or do you take yourself out to dinner? Come on in here. And so we have a city, and the reason that God has a problem with this city is just that. Y'all think y'all all that without me. Mm-hmm. It's a dangerous thing when you get to a place where you think you climbed that mountain and you didn't need God's strength. And so the Bible frames Nineveh as thoroughly evil. An enemy. They were thoroughly evil, not did evil things. The Bible frames Nineveh as thoroughly evil. Like you evil through and through. From the top to the bottom, they were evil. From the king on down to the animals. Y'all gonna see it in a minute. We got a problem in Nineveh.
Yeah.
And I would say this, as I continue to call this great church to prayer, as I continue to call this great church to do more and more in the community and love each other and care for each other, I would argue that there is a Nineveh-like mindset hitting our country. Whether you, okay, let's go here together. Whether the United States feels like we such a superpower that we don't need to bow to God.
Yeah.
Where we feel like our military might and our technological advancement and all of the accoutrement that we have gained with our Ivy League universities and all of these things cause us to be able to get somewhere without Jesus. Let me tell you, I would hate for God to send a Jonah through this city. And not just through the country. There's some things going on in Dayton where we done forgot God. Oh, if we're just talking about our own community, some of us have forgotten how far God brought us. Yes, yes, yes. Just at the street, a couple over on 3rd Street, there was a time where because of riots, they burned that area down. Oh, yeah, yeah. Where people were marching to the bridge and they were burning down businesses and they were fighting for their equality. But here it is, just a few short years later. Don't think that the 60s was a long time ago. Here it is, just a few short years later, we sit there and we see revitalization taking place in the very community that was burned down because we weren't given opportunities. And if you think that it has not been God moving and making a way and giving us opportunity when we couldn't do it on our own, that's not because we're so good. That's because he's so good. And I would hate for God to have to send Jonah down to walk through our city and tell us to get it together. But if he had to, here's how you respond. Because here's what happened. Put verse 5 on the screen for me, please. Look at what happens. The people of Nineveh believed God. And they called a fast. Oh, we ain't talking about this no more. And put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. You can take that down for now. The people of Nineveh, everybody was like, look, okay, God is upset. Everybody pray. Not some people. Everybody. Everybody fast. Now, despite this 2024 version of fasting, fasting means to abstain from food. That's what it means. The word fast, to abstain from food. So because you say that you ain't watching TV for a while, you ain't fasted yet. You just ain't watching TV. I'm going to not watch TV for a while. I'm going to cut out social media. You ain't fasted till you push that plate back. When you start pushing the plate back, now we fasted. I understand. We think that fasting is only reserved for certain types of people. You know, I don't know what done happened to us. It's in the word of God. There's some times where you got to say, look, let me get myself together. And because watch this, fasting is not magic. Fasting is actually a behavioral modification technique. Okay, let's teach a while. When you fast, what you are doing is you are telling yourself, when I say no, I mean no. Watch this. If you got issues in your flesh, anybody ever knew you was going to do something wrong and you did the wrong thing anyway? Come on, raise your hand high. Come on, let's get honest. Let's have a family discussion. Anybody ever knew, I shouldn't do this, and then you did it? Okay, let me get more kind because y'all don't want to raise your hand on that one. How many of y'all knew you shouldn't eat that? And it was so good. And you ate it anyway. See, hands already going up. All right, hands down. See, when you fast, what you're doing is you are training your body that when I say no, I mean no. Because if you cannot withstand a chicken bone, you also cannot withstand the lust of the flesh. If you're not strong enough internally that if you're going to say, I'm not eating any sweets, if you can't withstand pound cake, you're not going to withstand the lust of the eyes. So when you're fasting, you are in developmental mode. And what you're saying to your body is, when I say no, I mean no. And so you fast from food. And when the hunger pain goes, you tell the body, I said no. We ain't eating the cake and we ain't eating the fried chicken. I said no. We not drinking the pop. No, we not gonna do it. We said no. And we said we was gonna do this for 3 days. At the end of day two, you're gonna be like, Lord have mercy. And you gotta tell yourself, I said no. I said we ain't doing the fried chicken and we ain't doing the cake. And we ain't gonna substitute the cake with the pie, and we not gonna substitute the pop with the diet. No, 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 no. I mean no. And we ain't gonna put a little sugar on our finger and rub it on our teeth. I said no. And day three gonna come and the body gonna go, ooh, we want the cake. And you say, I said no. I mean, and once you start training that, eventually the body said, he said no, he means no. And then when somebody try to get you to cuss and act a fool and get angry and frustrated, and the body says, we should get him back, I said no. The body goes, cool, we said no. When he says no, he means no. And so what happens with the people of Nineveh is they were like, we got a problem. As Isaiah would say, Reverend Jackson, the head was sick. And they got a problem. And so watch this. The king said, everybody fast. Yeah. Put verse 5 up again. Let's read it together. Come on now. It's everybody. How many people fasted? Everybody. The people of Nineveh believed God. And they called a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. From the greatest to the least. We got to get to a place where everybody, how many bodies?
Everybody.
Everybody fast. As a matter of fact, what you'll find out is not only did they fast, but in that very next verse, oh Lord, when the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said, in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let a man, beast, herd, flock, taste a thing. Do not let them eat or even drink water. Lord have mercy. The king was like, I ain't playing with y'all. Nobody eats. I don't even want the cows to graze. Don't know why. Because God is upset and we need to fix this. We need to get, come on now. See, when you really get desperate and you really say, Lord, I need you, you'll start doing some stuff. But some of us ain't got desperate yet. And for me, I think our lack of desperation is based upon our lack of acknowledgement of just who God is and what God can do in your life. But when you start knowing, wait a minute, God, you are good, and not just good like another good, but good like no other. When God, you are kind, and not just kind like another kind, but kind like no other. When we start saying, God, you are great, and not great like a president, not great like a king, not great like a senator, but you are God. And God all by yourself. Beside you, there is no other. And when you start thinking like that, you go, wait a minute. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. If you want me to fast, I'm going to fast. If you want me to pray, I'm going to pray. I will pray all night if you need me to. Because God, you stand all by yourself. You are not one of many. You are one and only. And that's who we serve. But sadly, as the great book says, we got too many fans and not enough followers. Got too many fans, not enough followers, Deacon Harris. See, a fan knows the stats. Woo! Oh, yes, Lord. A fan can tell you everything about their stats. You know, I think in the church what we have, deacons and brothers and friends, is we have created a series of fans. Uh-huh. People who only know God's stats. You can tell me that God created the heavens and the earth. And you can tell me that God parted the Red Sea. And you can tell me that God was able to send himself in his son Jesus. And you can tell me that Jesus was able to give sight to the blind. And you can tell me that Jesus was able to turn water to wine, but that's just knowing the stats. That's just a fan. But when you are a follower, you can say, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. When you are a follower, it ain't about the stats. It's about he woke me up early this morning, and I was clothed in my right mind. When you're just a fan, you can tell me the stories. But when you are a follower, you can say, I was going to lose it, but God was with me, a very present help in the time of trouble. This is the differentiation between fans and followers. And let me tell you something, fans are not going to fast, but followers can't wait to do it. Here it is, the king is like, look, everybody fast. I don't want to hear it. Don't nobody eat nothing. Nothing. Don't eat nothing. Don't drink nothing. Because God is frustrated. Yeah. What would we do, Tabernacle? What would we do if I stood with the deacons and the ministers and I said, we going to fast? Well, I don't know about fasting. Meanwhile, Abraham Lincoln called a fast of the entire nation and everybody thought it was great. But when the preacher called a fast, we've had some of the most non-biblical presidents to walk the face of the earth. But when they do a world day of prayer, we think they're doing something great. And the king says, we need to fast.
Yeah.
Look at what he says as we go through the text. Verse 8. Both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. Let men call on God. That's prayer right there, y'all. Let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Verse 9, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Hold on. He says, let men call on him. Let men call on him, and let everybody call on him according to what's going on in them. What would happen if I just, right in the middle of service, told everybody in here, y'all just take a few minutes and call on God for what's going on in you. Just hold on, and we just began to, everybody in your seat, you ain't worried about what's going on with your neighbor. I ain't got time to be worried about what's going on in your house. I got to pray right here. It's me, oh Lord. What if we just had just a Holy Ghost breakout, and everybody just went to praying in your seat. Lord, help me. Lord, be with me. Lord, guide me. Guide my eyes and guide my mouth. Come on now. What if everybody in there just start praying about what you're going through? If you was praying about your children who's struggling in school, and praying about what's going on in your health, and praying about what's going on in your mind, and praying about what's going on in your marriage. What if everybody start going and praying what's going on, and you won't worry about what everybody is saying around you? I don't care what you're praying about. Me and you will hook up in a minute, but I'm no good to you if I'm still sick. I'm no good to you if I still got stuff going on. So I'm going to work on me, you work on you, and when we come together, we'll be a healthy body. And if we don't think that that's the way it works, y'all give me a few more minutes. If y'all don't think that's the way it works, ask Nehemiah. Because the reason, watch this, the reason that the wall was built in record time, go study it, is because each family built the wall around their house. Y'all missed that. Each family was like, all right, we're going to build the wall around our house. And the family next to them was like, you got yours? Yeah, I got mine. All right, we're going to join them in the middle. You handle your gate, I'll handle my gate. We're going to join them in the middle. I'm not mad about you. You ain't mad about me. You need a little mortar? I got a little mortar. You need me to send my young boy down there to help your boy? You only got two sons? I got three. I'll send one to you. We're going to build a... Come on in here. That's a body. And when we're a church and we can pray like that, and we began to say, what you praying about? I'm praying. Okay, I done got over that. I'm going to help pray with you. All right, I'm going to get me together, and then I'm going to help you. Soon as I get me together, I'm going to be down there to help you on your wall. We're going to join this thing together. We're going to do it. We're going to be a body. We're going to be a body. We're going to be a body. Say, we're going to be a body. Oh, don't look at me. Say, we're going to be a body. Come on, come on. Say, we're going to be a body. Not an individual. That's not what he died for. He died for the body. He died for the body. He died for us to be a body. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity for a body. We don't come to church to get our fix. We come to church to come with people of like and precious faith so we can war together, so we can fight together, not against each other, together against one common enemy. His name is the devil. Come on now, and he has no authority. He is under our feet. You are not my enemy. You are my brother. You are my sister. And when we pray together against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And I want to do it with you, not against you. You are with each other. Come on here. Almost through. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. They prayed. They fasted. The Lord was like, we good. And Jonah was like, oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you did not. Put verse 10 back up. Jonah had an attitude too. Yeah, that's like some of us. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, God relented. Concerning the calamity which he had declared, he would bring upon, he didn't do it. Say that one more time, he didn't do it. And Jonah like, why didn't you do it? When you get a chance, go read chapter 4. Jonah was like, I knew you was going to do that. I knew you was going to do that. And the Lord was like, well, if you knew that I wasn't going to do it, then what you got attitude for? See, hear me. The people prayed, their demise was averted, and Jonah gets upset. And we look at that verse the wrong way, because some translations say God repented. Other translations say God changed his mind. And it causes a theological conundrum, because we like, wait a minute, look at what the translation I put up. It says he relented. I like that translation because the Bible says, he says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Huh? He says, there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. I'm the same. Isn't this the Bible? Yesterday, today, and forever. So what happened? The prayer didn't change God. The prayer changed the people. If we're talking about the purpose of prayer, the prayer didn't change God. The prayer changed the people. Y'all, how many of y'all have ever heard that saying, prayer changes things? How many of you ever heard it? Okay, the first thing it changes is us. The first thing that prayer was going to change is us. And it does that by changing our perspective. When prayer changes you, we're talking about prayer. And this is why some people don't want to do it, because prayer changes our perspective first. And it changes our perspective in three areas. I'll give it to you and I'm done. One, it changes your perspective about God.
Yeah.
The first thing that the prayer changes your perspective of is it changes your perspective about God. God is to be honored. He's to be respected. He's to be followed. He is not your equal. Prayer will change your perspective about God. Number two, prayer changes your perspective about yourself. Because life has a way of tainting what you think about you. When you've gone through some things, been through some things, been through some mud, you got this. Unfortunately, we got a way of thinking that we're still muddy. Like God can't use me because of what I've been through. We are not defined by our past. We are defined by our maker.
Yes, sir.
I'll say it again. We are not defined by our past. We are defined by our maker.
Yes, sir.
And then number three, prayer changes your perspective of others.
Yeah.
This is the one tabernacle. Because how in the world I'm going to hold a grudge with you about the very thing that's in me? You really think I got time to be mad at you when God ain't mad at me? And every time I find myself about to get mad at somebody, all I do is think back over his goodness. We good, God? I don't have... You want me? After everything God done for us? After everything God has brought us through? After every door that God has opened for us? After I read texts in the scripture like, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
And you want me to hold on to some unforgiveness?
Yeah.
Bet I won't. Bet I won't. Come on. Come on. In this church.
Yeah.
Some of us in this church, you've known each other your whole life.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit in here. You've known each other your whole life. And then we allow little bitty small petty things to come in the way of lifelong relationships where we should be able to come to each other and say, nah, baby girl, we done known each other too long. Lift up your hands and let's pray together. Ain't no way in the world we should allow what we think our third cousin might have said 10 years ago to cause us to be against each other. We a body. And if I can't sit in church with you, we in trouble, because that means that we are an army which has a weak link, and I don't want the devil to be able to shoot at us and we so busy arguing that we can't fire back. Oh, come on now. There's some forgiveness that needs to happen in God's, hey, glory, in God's house. There's some restitution that needs to happen in God. I ain't gonna talk to them no more. God talks to us. What if God said, because of what you did, I ain't talking to you no more? Because because of what you said, I don't want to be bothered with you no more. And then we turn around and say, oh no, but I'm just flesh and blood, created in his image and after his likeness. And we say, as Reverend Jackson told us yesterday, that we're full of the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. How am I full of the Holy Ghost and full of frustration at the same time? How am I full of the Holy Ghost and full of anger at the same time? That don't even work in natural math. Go home and get you a glass out of your cupboard and fill it with water. And if it's full of water, what else is it full of? It ain't nothing in there but water. And so if I'm full of the Holy Ghost and I'm full of his spirit, I ain't got time to be full of rage. I don't have time to be full of anger. I don't have time to be full of an attitude. I don't have time to be full of nothing but the Holy Ghost. And when we like that, I'm going to walk next to you and I'm going to love on you and I'm going to care for you, because I don't want a Jonah to come through here. And when it's time to pray and it's time to fast, we can't even get along with each other. No, 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 no. We're going to pray together. We're going to fast together. And guess what God will do? God will say, all right, I see unity here. I'm good. Prayer didn't change God. Prayer changed them. This is why we must pray. This is why we must pray. This is why we got to get down on our knees and begin to pray. This is why we got to lay aside every weight. Oh, come on. And the sin that does so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We got to pray. We ain't got nothing else. We got to pray. We can do all the programs in the world, but if you don't do it with prayer, keep it. We can do all the initiatives in the world, but if it don't start with prayer, we don't want to do it. We can raise all the money in the world, but if we ain't trying to do it with prayer, we can't do it. We must pray. Got to. I got to. I ain't got no choice. Otherwise, I'm a hypocrite sitting next to you when I don't want to talk to you. The outcome, God changed how they saw him. God changed how they saw themselves. And God changed how they saw others. It's the scripture that we began with. If my people who are called by my name, humble yourself. I mean just humble. I mean humble yourself. Take, because the king, y'all, when it came time for the king to fast, he took his robe off. He said, I ain't the king now, I'm just a man. Humble yourself. Same David had to do the same thing. Come on now, when Uzziah died for touching the ark, David had to go back and take his kingly robes off and come all the way down to his linen ephod and say, hold on, I done missed something. I done mess around and thought I was somebody when God is everybody. I done mess around and thought I was something because God done bless me. I done put the blessing on me and took it off of God. I repent, God. Some of us right there, I know God has been good to you. Yes, Lord, your credit is good and you're driving nice. You're living a good neighborhood, but it ain't always been that way. Come on now, some of y'all right now done retired from good jobs. You got good retirement. Things are operating real good for you. You able to go on vacation when you want to go. You're pretty much able to buy what you want to buy, but it ain't always been that way. Some of y'all in here drive what you want to drive. You do what you want to, but it ain't always been that way. Do you remember when things were rough? Do you remember when you couldn't do what you wanted to do? Do you remember when right here in this city, where if you look like me, you couldn't go in certain places? Come on in this room. But God has been good to us. He has brought us a mighty long way, and it ain't because we're so good. Come on now, there are some highly educated people in this place. There are doctorate degrees from the front door to the back door, and there was a time where you couldn't even get that degree from that school. There was a time where you couldn't even go in that classroom, but God has been good to you. You got doctorate after doctorate, masters after masters. Come on now, you can't even worry no more. You walk where you want to walk. You ain't got to worry about nobody putting no dogs on you and no hoses on you. But you can't forget where you come from. It's not that you're mad, it's that you're grateful. It's not that you got a chip on your shoulder, it's that you honor God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. You didn't have to do it. I thank you. And some people would look at me right now. You too young to know. Y'all don't understand. Y'all don't understand. The reason that I know is because my father taught me to have gratitude for things that happened during his generation, so that my children wouldn't get angry in their generation and arrogant in their generation. The reason I got history is because I was submitted to people who paved the way before me. And I dare us have a Black History Month and celebrate those who paved the way us. Yes, we should celebrate all of our African American first. Yes, we should celebrate all of those who paved the way in innovation, in education. But let us not forget, if it had not been for Jesus, let us not forget Calvary. Let us not forget Golgotha. Let us not forget that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Let us not forget. I gotta pray. Ain't got no choice. I gotta pray. Don't you let up. You let up, you get hurt. Pray. Reverend Jackson told me something a few weeks ago. I didn't forget Reverend Jackson. He said, I went into the church and I prayed all night. Couldn't get a whole lot of people to pray with you that time. That's because prayer meeting is the most non-attended service in all churches across the country. But it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, it's coming. Well, we're going to open this sanctuary to pray. What else we going to do? Nothing. See? Are we going to have some song? No. We're going to pray. We going to bring in a guest? No. He's the guest. His name is Jesus. We're going to pray. Hallelujah. It's the only guest I want walking around in here when I'm praying. You are the key note speaker. The Holy Ghost is the keynote. None of us. Come on in here, Holy One, and speak to us. Tell us about ourselves. Come in here, Holy One, and have thine own way. Holy Spirit, have thine own way. I want the Holy Ghost to be an invited guest. I don't want him to have to tip around when he comes in tabernacle. I want him to find a seat and be comfortable. The word glory in the Old Testament is the word kabod. It means weight. I would hate for the weight of God to want to come in this room and the seats be too weak to handle him. Let us fortify his seat so that when God comes in, he can relax. Father, I thank you. I give you praise. You're worthy. You're worthy of honor and you're worthy of thanksgiving. Forgive us, God, for putting us before you. But Lord, let us learn from the people of Nineveh to humble ourselves and pray. So you would hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. In Jesus' name. Amen. The doors of the church are open.